Hello there, Michael.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
I'm very well. How are you?
Doing okay. I've still got this virus thing. I explained it on the last episode, and I'm not going to talk about it anymore because no one cares. But anyone who wants to can send chicken soup via email to patrick@patrickrone.com. Anywho, we have a guest on today. Do you want to do the honors?
Yes, from my co-host of the Ungenius podcast at 70decibels.com/ungenius, where we find random Wikipedia articles and learn all about them so we can give you all of the information you need from the world. And also from 512pixels.net, the wonderful Mr. Stephen Julio Hackett.
Julio? Is that your middle name, really?
No, it's not. It's a middle name that I've used on Mike. On Ungenius.
Yes. Yes, one of Stephen's trademarks for Ungenius is he gives me a new middle name
every time,
week.
Yeah.
And it's probably my favorite part, and it's pretty much the only reason I do the podcast anymore.
So we wanted to have Stephen on because actually we invited him on a while back now after the post he wrote.
Late October.
This date
was set. This is, you know, this show is like, it's like some sort of red carpet premiere. We have to book people months in advance. So many people wanting it on.
Yeah, I know. Basically, here's the deal. Here's the deal with the post. Stephen here has made an executive decision about his life, about his time and his attention, and what it means to him. And we applaud him for it. He has decided that as part of that effort to be protective and purposeful and mindful with his time and attention in regards to his pocketable supercomputer, referred to as the iPhone, to not have any games on it. No games allowed on Steven's iPhone. And even with that said, even the game center that he can't seem to delete, thanks to Apple, it has been relegated to the most nether regions of his phone, thus not stealing precious pixels away from his life.
Why have you done this, Steven? I can't seem to understand it, so I'll explain to me.
So it kind of started with a Steve Jobs quote. I'm just going to just read it. It says, "I'm a big believer in boredom. Boredom allows one to indulge in curiosity, and out of curiosity comes everything." And so, you know, I had read that quote, I think a couple years ago, and I just kind of one day just kind of noticed that anytime I had an extra moment, you know, like if you're riding in the car with somebody or you're in line at the bank or, you know, your wife ran to the grocery store and you're sitting in the car, I kind of realized one day that in those situations, I would just pull out my iPhone and burn those minutes off, you know, playing a game. And it just kind of hit me one day that, you know, that's wasn't something that I wanted to continue doing because I had no time to just be bored. Does that make sense?
We spoke about this recently with Dave Kalo on an episode where he was talking about boredom. And I sort of argued with Dave, as I'm probably going to argue with you, in regards to these sort of things. Like, I love gaming on my iPhone, and I do it because I have these ridiculous commutes. So obviously our situations are different because you don't really find the time, Stephen, but I do. But more than that, it's just something that I really enjoy, and there's so many amazing games for the iPhone which are really good fun. I mean, I probably download about three or four new games a week to try out.
Wow.
And not many stay on the phone. I have about seven of my favorite games stay on the phone. So usually I will play, complete the game, or get bored of the game and get rid of it. And it's like 99 cents a pop, 59p a pop for me, so it's nothing. But so now, Pat, I'm going to assume that you're probably in the Hackett camp on this one.
Yes, with one exception. I have one game on my phone, and but I keep it for a very specific for a reason, and that's Cannibalt.
Oh, I remember this now. I remember a long time ago you telling me about this. I think it was on an episode of The Bro Show, which I'm not going to find because it's old enough, which means I don't want people to listen to it.
I'll reiterate for those that are not in the know and not regular Bro Show listeners, and to those people, shame on you. Come on.
What's going on?
Come on. In any case, I keep Cannibalt around because I keep the particular version that I have, and I don't want to update this particular version because I like this particular version, and they made a change to the game that made it unplayable to me. Like, it completely ruined it for me. And of the very, very few games that I do play, it's one that I enjoy playing even still.
How and have you not updated it by accident? Even
I just when I on my phone I go to the App Store and I go to the update little tabby thing and it shows me like, oh, you've got 4 apps to update, and I update 3 of them.
So it just shows you can't have that many apps. Really, because like, for you to never have made the mistake of just hitting that button because you forgot about it.
Yeah, no, I haven't made that mistake.
I think to be clear, for me, I mean, Mike, I totally agree with you. You know, there's some great iOS games out there, and I have games on my iPad, but it was just the games happened to be the thing that I was using to plug those holes in my day. So if that thing had been Instagram, or if that thing had been Twitter or Google Reader, you know, I would have had to make a change in those areas. It just happened for me at the time that the games were what were serving as that crutch, you know. And you know, this is one of those things where, like, I just wasn't taking time just to be still and think. You know, it's like when you have 2 kids and a full-time job and sometimes it's nice just to have quiet, and I was pushing quiet out of my life with Jetpack Joyride and Angry Birds.
Well, and here's something else too, and that is, I think it's also important to state that it's not just, you know, at least for me, it's not just about allowing oneself to you know, be bored or to pushing out the quiet, but it's also like those areas where, like, for instance, I'm stuck in line at a grocery store, or I, you know, if I did have a long commute. I think increasingly we're missing out of just observing what's going on around us, just observing the world for no other reason than just being present, you know, being stuck in a grocery line and saying, you know, this is where I'm at right now. I'm in this grocery line. I'm not going to let it bother me. I'm not going to get anxious about it. I'm not going to get annoyed with the, you know, person who can't decide whether they want to use their credit card or write a check or, you know, whatever at the front of the line that's holding up everybody else. I'm just going to observe. I'm going to take a look around. I'm going to notice things I haven't noticed before. And, you know, who knows? Who knows what might happen? And I think those moments of just being present and just observing the world around us are also an important part of what's being missed when we're sucked into the screen.
There might be something wrong with me, but I just can't. I can't not be doing something. Like, if I have to walk outside for 5 minutes, 99% of the time, I will pick up Instacast and carry on with the episode of the podcast I was last listening to. You know, because for some, it's just how I am, and I've been this way since I got my pink iPod Mini. Yeah, I know, it was the only color they had in the store.
Wow. Shoot me.
Right, yeah. Yeah. I was a younger man then, and pink was a men's color at that time in my life. And you know, since then, it's just been right. Well, I will just be plugged in at all times, and then as these devices just got more and more advanced, I love it. Like, I love playing games on my iPhone. I have games that I adore. You know, I do another podcast on the network, The App Orchard, which me and Joshua Schnell from MacGasm do. Mm. I would gladly just talk about games every week, but I think he'd get upset at me. You know, like at the moment, I have 9 games in my games folder, which are my favourites, and I've got 5 games on my last screen, which are all games that I'm trying out in rotation.
I mean, wow. Yeah, I just can't do it, you know. And I definitely understand what you're saying, Mike. And that's a very easy thing for me to fall into. But I just can't let myself do that anymore. You know, and I'm not saying that what you're doing is bad. I'm not. Please don't take it that way. But I know, like, for me, we're
too late.
We're done. I just need the time. I just need those little quiet spaces. But, you know, it's just, I almost didn't write about it. It felt like such a personal decision, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hmm. Well, and it's not just about, I think it's important to state, it's not just about the games, right? I mean, it's whatever you are using as that filler, mm-hmm. right? To at least be... At the least, be mindful that that's what you're doing, and to possibly give some considerations to what that means. You know, is there a better way you could be using that time? What are you missing out on by using the time that way? And at the worst, you're doing this stuff when you should be spending your time doing other things, right? Whether it be, you know, work, or whether it be spending time with your family or whatnot.
Right. Absolutely.
But it's not just about games. That could be Twitter. That could be Instapaper. That could be email. That could be, you know. That could be simple note if you're an obsessive note taker. Yeah, I mean, it's whatever it is that is kind of taking you away from the present moment that you should be occupying.
And
for you, that was games.
Exactly. I can't talk. That was just what happened to be kind of in that spot for me. But, you know, absolutely, it could be anything. Yeah. Even outside of the technology realm, but you know, I had just kind of come to a point where I just needed to cut something out, you know. And it was not an easy thing to do, but it kind of hit me one day as an obvious thing to do. But yeah, it's hard. I mean, boredom is boring. You know, there's definitely times where I'm like, oh man, I gotta wait for this person to show up. I should download something on my phone. It's like, well, why don't you just sit and be quiet for a second? And that's a fight that I have with myself. You know, it's not a easy thing just to sit, at least for me.
Yeah. One thing that I often think about, and when I'm in these kind of spaces and when I'm having these kind of internal, you know, thoughts and questions and battles and whatnot, one of the things I try to remind myself of, and maybe this is, once again, we've hit up against one of these generational things, Michael, where perhaps you're from a generation that doesn't do this, or, you know, doesn't remember such a time. But I try to remember, what did I do before this? Before I had an iPhone, before there was even the internet, when I found myself in a grocery line, what did I do? When I found myself in a, you know, on a long commute, what did I do? And, you know, I think by asking myself that question and reminding myself that there was a time before this and that I did something that I, in fact, and that was okay, that it didn't affect me any better or worse for spending my time in that way back then, that it will be the same today should I choose not to fill this time with, you know, some distraction or something to, quote, keep me busy. I don't know. I mean, once again, I think that that might be somewhat generational, too. One of the things that that I've been thinking about often is how the world in which my daughter, who's 3.5, will grow up, that, you know, she does not know a time where, and will never know a time when computers, not only will she likely not remember a time when, you know, when there wasn't a computer everywhere, and it's not that she likely, she definitely won't, but she will likely not remember a time when we didn't speak to our computers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She will likely not remember a time when we did not gesture to our computers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can definitely see that. You know, I've got a 3-year-old, and just many of his toys are not tech. You know, I mean, we try to keep things simple, but, you know, he can walk over to my iPad on the table and unlock it and navigate around it. It's just like,
oh, yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Beatrix has been able to do so since 2.5. At least, you know, 2.5 is when she started off with the Photos app and got within minutes of me just showing her the basic maneuvers. She got, I touch something that I want to go to and I pinch when I want to go backwards. Completely got that. And was able to navigate the photo app like nobody's business within a matter of minutes.
Right.
You know, and now, of course, she can pick up the iPad and, you know, I mean, just last night, she was like, is it okay if I watch a movie on the iPad? Sure, no problem, you know, because I was sick and Bethany was at a meeting and, you know, quite frankly, I was happy to have something to keep her busy.
Sometimes you got to wave that one back.
Yeah, sometimes you have to. And, you know, she just goes, grabs the iPad, opens it up, launches Netflix, you know, scrolls through the kids section and chooses something that she wants to watch.
And as parents, you know, that's a, sorry, Mike, you know, as parents, that's something that we can do for our children. You know, we can kind of structure their days where they're not watching TV all day or they're not spending more than a little bit of time with an iPad. But at least for me, I'd kind of forgotten that I needed to do that for me as well. You know, I'm on my iPhone all day, but I only want, you know, decide to play his little puzzle game on my iPad for 10 minutes at night because, you know, I don't want his brain to turn to oatmeal when, you know, my brain is dripping back in my head already.
While we're on the subject, I mean, of parenting, one of the things that is kind of nice about that is that, if I'm trying to find ways to keep her away from the devices and disconnected and doing something creative and fun and interesting, that means that I'm doing it with her, right? And so therefore, I'm also disconnecting myself and doing that fun creative thing, which lately has been comprised of two games, the sleepover game. And these are completely made up by Beatrix, the sleepover game and the bear hunt game. But we will literally spend, you know, she'll get home from Headmaster Claris, at the British, charm school that she goes to. we will eat dinner and we will literally spend between the time we're done with dinner till the time it's ready for her to go to bed, completely disconnected, running around the house, with me being the bear that she finds and goes and chases her and tickles her. You know, which probably just now got this podcast flagged in several, child pornography ring databases with the FBI.
Oh, God.
They flag stuff Stephen's like that, on. You know.
Hey.
You have an interesting sense of humor. It's one that we share, but you bring out the worst in all of us. In the nicest possible way, of course.
So
yeah.
Well, I mean, I think we've talked about this to death anyway. But, the bottom line of it is that I think that... I think what's fascinating about what you just said about, you remembering to do it for yourself is this idea that, well, my child forces me to do this for myself if I'm doing it for the child. You know, that there's reciprocal benefit there. And I think that that's something to be recognized and something to consider if for other parents out there that are finding, I'm really just kind of too plugged in. And I'm missing too much. You know, one of the ways is to, if you enforce rules on your kids, sometimes you have to, suffer from the rules yourself. It's like, I eat very little red meat because Bethany doesn't eat red meat, right?
Exactly. So,
it's a similar sort of thing. So, well, thanks a lot, Stephen. I appreciate you being on and sharing your perspective there. We're going to have you back on, I think, in another episode here to talk about something entirely different.
Sounds like fun.
But we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
So where can people find you, Stephen? Why don't you wrap it up better than I did?
Okay. I'm at 512pixels.net, where I write about technology, journalism, and design. And you can find me on Twitter at ISMH.
Awesome. Just as another little aside, if you wanted to sponsor the 70 Decibels Network, you can do so. We do offer sponsorship. We've not been promoting it very heavily at the moment as we're just trying to get all the kinks out in the network. But if you go to 70decibels.com/sponsor, if you have a product or a service that you'd like to get out to the listeners of this show and all the other shows in the network, then that's the place to do it.
Sounds great. And, I think beyond that, I guess we will all talk later, won't we?
Yes. Cheers.
All right. Cheers.